So I'm kind of excited about the next 3 weeks. It just worked out that we have the spouses of all three pastors who are going to be interviewed these next weeks. So Emily is married to Wes, and then Diana will go the following week, and then Jan the last week. So they each have fantastic stories about how they've lived their lives, and it's kind of cool that you get to know them a little better. So let me start with this scripture. I got to type it in again. It went away. The scripture that we picked out is from Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6. And I believe you picked this out. Yeah. Pay attention to what it says about calling. That's kind of the theme we're going to talk about today. So this is Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, Emily and I got to sit down. If you were at any of the home meetings when we first came here, we've heard each other's life stories about 22 times. But it was really fun filling in some of the blanks and getting to know more about that. So let me just ask you some questions and you can share. So you want to tell us about where you were born and where you grew up?
So I am not from Kansas. I grew up in Delaware. And grew up there with my family, grew up going to church, a United Methodist church, and then later went to a college called Messiah College, which in Pennsylvania, it's a Christian college. And yeah, grew up in Delaware, went to school, yeah, normal.
Share with them how long it takes to get across the state.
That was fun. Delaware, so coming out west, it was really eye-opening. In Delaware, you can drive like east to west in 30 minutes and top like north to south within like 2 hours at most. And so coming like to Kansas and driving 6 hours and I'm still in Kansas, I'm like, what's going on here? Like, why am I still in Kansas? Where in 6 hours on the East Coast, you can go through quite a few states. So that's been something to get used to coming out west.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that, but when you said it, it just struck home. My goodness. So, how about telling about your family, your relationship with your mom growing up, stuff like that?
Yeah. So my mom and I are very close, and moving out here was like probably one of the hardest things is that we're farther away from each other, but we talk almost every day, talk to her this morning even. But my mom is like very much my best friend, and in fact, so much that all my friends have sort of collectively like decided that she's also going to be their friend. And so, like, even now, my friends will say, hey, I saw your mom the other day. I stopped by and said hello. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, just hanging out with my mom, even though I'm not there anymore. But I really do appreciate that. She was always a role model growing up. She was a school counselor, and so she's a very good listener and empathetic. And she just really knows how to be there for me as a mom, but also is able to listen as like I've grown up and sort of that role has changed as we have grown together. So
that's great. You said you went to Messiah College. What was your major?
Yes. So I went to Messiah College. I was a cross-cultural Christian ministry major. That's a mouthful. and I had a minor in TESOL, which is teaching English to speakers of other languages. And I most recently actually went back to University of Delaware and got my master's in TESOL last year. So have really gone into the direction of teaching English. And that's what my job is now, which is I work at West Church Middle School up on 95th Street. and I work with middle schoolers, teaching them English, and I'm ready for summer break.
So tell us about your international work. Yeah.
So when I was in college, I had the opportunity to study abroad in Costa Rica. And the study abroad experience was through a Christian college, so a lot of it was talking about mission work, but also like the perspective of Christianity in Latin America and sort of the influence of how culture and our faith intersects. And it really just opened my eyes and helped me like deconstruct some of my faith because I had grown up in the church, but I had not really a deeper understanding of what Christianity meant to me and what calling and what faith meant to me. And so that sort of led me to want to go back to Costa Rica. So when I graduated, my friend who I had met at church was like, hey, I'm in Costa Rica and I'm working with this mission community development organization and we're looking for English teachers. Do you want to come down? And I was like, sure. And so I went down there after graduating and worked for 2 years. I lived with a Nicaraguan immigrant family who was below the poverty level. And so I got a really eye-opening experience of what it was like to live in Costa Rica with a family and what the realities of life like was that. Also allowed me to learn a lot of Spanish, which I'm grateful for, and teach English in a church that had multi-generational English classes. So getting to see how families can learn together and sort of it was really cool seeing grandparents learn with their grandkids English because their grandkids were living in the United States and they wanted to be able to communicate and like talk with them too. And so it was just a very eye-opening experience, but also very humbling because if any of you have ever been in another country or have learned another language, it almost reverts you back into like this childlike state because you have to rely on other people and you have to rely on so many other things that you're outside of your control as well.
Yeah, I always thought if I had to preach in a foreign country, I would be a big flop because none of my jokes would land.
No, they're probably.
Yeah. So, when you were growing up, did you think about being a mom? Was that something you thought about?
So not really. I always had worked with children in different capacities, like helping out in Sunday school. In college, I worked at a camp. And so I spent my summers working at a Christian camp, and that was a ton of fun. But never really, like, was like, I'm going to grow up and be a mom. And, like, thinking about, I have friends who, like, they were like, I'm called to be a mom, and that was their purpose. And, like, hope that that is in my future, but also was not, like, that is my sole purpose. And so, like, had my mom as a role model, and she was amazing and is amazing. But no, not exactly.
So I'm guessing not a huge Harrison Butker fan?
I told Wes he needs to burn his jersey.
Oh, okay.
We'll see what happens.
you know, you're married now, but but I thought it would be great to just hear you talk just a little bit about what singleness was like for you in this day and age, in this time, kind of what your experience was.
So one of the things that was really interesting during my time in Costa Rica was people would come down, would say to me, oh, you came down here looking for a husband, right? And I was like, no, that's not why. Or anytime I was like cooking or cleaning, there'd be comments like, oh, you're preparing to be a good wife. And I was like, also not the case. But like there is also this image of white young women who come down to foreign countries and they are there for a good time. And so there's this image of like loose women. So like these conversations happened with like the family I was living with, the coworkers, but also happened with like the Uber driver was like, hey, have you met any like Latino men? Like you like wanna get married? Like there was like a lot of flirtations, catcalling even if I was wearing like certain attire. And so that was just also eye-opening for me about like, oh, like there's also these like ideas around like dating also like here. But that was not the reason I went to Costa Rica. I was really just like wanting to follow this sort of like call I felt to go abroad and wanting to see what God had for me in Costa Rica. And dating was really not on my mind at that point.
Gotcha. So you came back and you did a variety of different jobs, kind of landed where you are, and thinking about singleness there, what did you do?
So I was part of the online dating world, which is how I met Wes, which I think was where you were going with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Which online dating is just a very bizarre experience. But I do know, like, my cousin met their wife on online dating, and my, like, good friend is currently dating someone who she met from online dating. And so it's a very popular thing nowadays, but it's a very bizarre because it sort of puts all of your interests in a profile, and you're like, what is your astrological sign? Like, are you vaccinated or not? Is now like one of the options, or what type of relationship are you looking for? And so I joined these app because my friend was like, hey, I'm gonna do this. You wanna do it with me? I was like, sure, like, why not? Like, let's see what happens. And ended up meeting Wes a few months after that. And we met right before COVID and clicked, and luckily continued to pursue a relationship and date through COVID. And 4 years later, here we are.
And wasn't like Methodism one of the things?
So one of the first like comments that I had on the dating app was, hey, I see you're a fellow Methodist. Like, fancy meeting you here. Like, like, hey, like, we have this in common. Like, and so that was sort of how the connection started, was the Methodist Church and our connection through the UMC.
Yeah, that's cool. So as you're married now, and you guys are getting a couple years under your belt, what has your experience been with conversations or expectations about motherhood?
So it's interesting because as soon as you get married, people are like looking at you and asking you, like, when are you going to have a family? Like, when are you going to have children? And it's a very bizarre and personal conversation because it's like, we are already a family. Like, Wes and I have made a commitment to one another. We have felt called to one another, and we have already, like, we are a family. Me, Wes, our two dogs, living happily. But the conversations, even just, I sent a card to my mom and I said, there's a surprise in there. And someone's like, are you pregnant? And it's like, no, I'm not. And so, like, any type of conversation always goes back to that. And it can be a little angering at time, a little frustrating, because it feels like they're just looking for the next step in my relationship. That's a personal decision that Wes and I will make. But also, you don't know people's story with that either. And so, just, I hope that's in my future, and I hope that's in Wes and I's future, but not sure where that will lead us and where God's calling us with that either.
And you talked a little bit about how that balances out for you. Actually, the way the conversation went is I asked, so how do you think about balancing out working and being, like, being a mom?
And I didn't really understand what he was asking, honestly. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, balancing? I'm like, yes, and? Like, that will be what will happen. And I think because as, like, my mom worked as a school counselor growing up, she was a mom and she was a school counselor, and she found her purpose and calling in both. And so I definitely see that for my own life, that if I am to be a mom, like, I will probably continue working, and the same for Wes. And it's really interesting how people would probably not ask Wes that same question, but they're going to ask me that. And that is something that we even talked about, like, in terms of maternity leave.
Right.
And it's really interesting because in the UMC church, there is maternity and paternity leave, but at my current job, there is none. So it's really bizarre to even think about, like, if we were to start planning having a child, that he would have leave, but I would have to figure out how to take vacation, sick days, and maybe even go on disability in order to have that happen. And just, yeah.
Yeah, that's frustrating. That's not right. So in your work and what you do and in your life, are there ways that you feel like you act like a mother?
So, as I said, I work at Westridge Middle School, and I work with students who are learning English. And so like learning a language, you're in a very vulnerable state, but also working with adolescents, their parents are really relying on the teachers at the school to advocate for their children because they might not know how to navigate the like school system. If you can even imagine going to another country and trying to enroll your child and know what services they need and just know how the classes operate or how you're gonna talk to a teacher. And even the classes, sometimes when they come, they're like, oh, they don't have this, I don't even know, astronomy class. We're like, no, like that's actually coupled in this like science class. And so getting to sort of advocate for students and sort of be that like step in and be that communication between parents and the school and sort of helping parents to navigate and know what their rights are also as parents in the United States as school system, it's an honor. And I really feel like the students, especially because I go to all of their classes, their content area classes with them, we sort of become a family. And I'm like, you don't always have to like each other, but you do have to work together.
That sounds very mom-like.
Yes. Yes. I'm like, I don't care if you don't like each other. I just need you to do this project.
There you go. That's tough love. Yep. So last question. We've kind of seen the thread running through here, but maybe you can just share a little bit about how your faith has helped shape your journey and been with you.
So I really feel like calling has been like a big thing that I've like come back to time and time again and just feeling like where God has called me. And in Wes and I's relationship, one of the big things was where were we gonna live? Him being from Kansas and me being from Delaware, that was part of their conversation like early on in dating. And we ended up coming back to Kansas, or me moving to Kansas. And I just sort of felt that that was where God was also calling us for now, but not sure where it is in the future. And I will say a funny thing. One of the things that really, when I decided like, oh, we're gonna go to Kansas, it was, we're in Kansas or Nebraska, because in the United Methodist Church, they can place you anywhere within the conference. And so when I agreed to that, I knew that it could be Johnson County, not knowing what Johnson County was, but, or it could be in the middle of nowhere, Nebraska, or it could be in Western Kansas, and sort of leaving that up to God to know that wherever we're going to go, God will be there, God will be working. And funny enough, we're here in Olathe. I'm living in Gardner, but what makes me like the touch of home is there is a sub shop called Capriotti's on 119th in Quivira, and that is a sub shop that is started in Delaware. And what are the odds that we would be placed a few blocks from a church and have a sub shop that my aunt like was part of starting and owning? And so that was just sort of a sign from God, a little bit of peace knowing that God has called us here, and wherever we're going next, God will be there as well.
Jan, Capriotti's for lunch?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good place.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. And I'm so impressed with your faithfulness and your stepping outside the box in different ways, and the ways that you nurture your students. And I just wish you a lot of luck with whatever the future brings. So let's say thank you to Emily.